Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason hanging out with you. Willie has headed off to Edmonton, making sure he doesn't lose Max Herz.
Please don't lose him.
Please don't,
please
lose,
don't
Max.
Lose Max.
Don't leave
we him. We need him to come back.
We do. We do. But Predators will be taking on the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow night. I laugh, and look, we love Shane in the Borough, but you know, I go and I look through the text, and we've talked a lot of Titans today because Titans played yesterday. It's Reaction Monday. That's
exactly
that's how this works. But Shane is just, he's getting in his Preds takes, and he's hoping that we'll get to it. We will. We will. Later in the week. We will for sure. Tomorrow Absolutely. Is game day, so we will talk about it then. But it is time to go around the NFL. But before we do that, you know, today is Nick Saban's birthday. There's a few people that we work with that have birthdays on Halloween. But another one that I have to give a shout-out to, Braves legend, crime dog, Fred McGriff. It is Fred McGriff's birthday. Love the crime dog.
Well, happy birthday, Fred McGriff.
Yes, crime dog. Gotta love it. All right, let's get to Nick Kieser and his NFL zingers.
All right, gentlemen. The scary chase?
Coming in hot.
I may have planned to do that a little bit. I think Michelle left us a little too high.
That's okay.
All right, no, we're all good. But hey, you know who else is coming in hot right now? The Tennessee Titans. They've won 5 in a row. But who would have thought that we would have gotten to see Malik Willis play at all this year? And I'm glad that we did get to see him play. You know, he didn't do anything too crazy. But, you know, like Chase and I talked about prior to our show, all he had to do is hand the ball
off.
Don't
tell people what we talked about.
Well,
I want people to think I don't like you.
In confidence. Oh, man. Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Well, hey, the Titans won 17-10, and a win is a win. But, hey, let's talk about Derrick Henry here for a second. You know, we obviously have been breaking down throughout the day that he now has the new record for 75 touchdowns on the Titans. But now, D-Mace, you also played with some great running backs throughout your career, so I know your opinion will, you know, definitely take its toll here. But I have to ask the big question here. Will he continue to be this consistent running back for a few more seasons, or are we going to see him kind of take a step back here pretty soon? Because, you know, he's going to have all these records, you know, and at the very end of the day, D-Mace, I know you're someone that didn't get to the very end of the road winning a Super Bowl, but you have great numbers, and Derrick Henry does too, and it's no knock against anybody here. It's not being rude or bashing anybody, but, you know, do we want to see him have more success aside from just the stats that he has? Because obviously, Super Bowl feeling, that's what you want to have. You want to win that. But let's talk about his peak here and if he still has more juice in the tank in a couple of years.
I past this season, I don't know because it does seem like he has lost a step. I still think he's a powerful runner and he's going to punish individuals. And, you know, he'll rush 400 yards, he'll rush 450 yards. And, you know, he'll have that game where he rushes for 200 yards like he did last night. But he's not the same back he was a year ago. And I think, you know, the further you play in this game, especially at that position, you know, you start to decline a little bit. It's just with him, is it a complete fall off the cliff or is it a gradual decline for Derrick Henry? I would say it's more of a gradual decline. So, you know, say if he rushes for 1,400 yards this year, which I think he will. Next year, it may not be 1,400 yards, you know. It may be 1,100 because now they've, you know, added another back that can take some of the load away from him. So, you know, they can't continue to ride him forever. We know that. But I think he's still going to be able to give them enough moving forward that that teams will game plan to stop either Derrick Henry or the Tennessee Titans running game.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Moving on. Fair enough. I like that. So, A.J. Brown, the guy that we have mentioned a little bit and talked about, hey, maybe regretting trading him, moving on from him. Eagles are 7-0 now, guys. And he's definitely one of their best weapons, and it's just obvious. But we've talked about possibly, you know, having more of those pulls and whatnot, and Willie throwing that out there again like he did earlier when he was still here. But A.J. Brown has 39 receptions on 64 targets this year, 5 total touchdowns, 659 yards receiving. That's his stat line. I know that Tennessee may wish that they wish that they had him still, maybe, or someone like an A.J. Brown. I guess you guys can throw out maybe trade deadline stuff here if you want to for who you would want. But what is his ceiling with the Eagles, and what is the Eagles' overall ceiling as well? Because they're a team, they're 7-0, Chase, your Cowboys are right behind them, and I'll get to them. But what do we think about A.J. Brown here, honestly?
Oh, look, he's been the weapon that they needed. I mean, that's why they made the trade and ended up paying him the money that they did. I mean, he's been exactly what they wanted him to be. But with that said, and Jalen Hurts, I take nothing away from what he's done. He's had an awesome season. Philly's beaten Detroit. Minnesota earlier in the season, and I think we've seen Minnesota come along and be a better team. Washington, not very good. Jacksonville, not very good. Arizona, not very good. They beat Dallas without Dak Prescott, with Cooper Rush. They beat a really bad Pittsburgh team. Now they got to play Houston. Then Washington again. Then Indy. Then Green Bay. Then they play the Titans. At the Giants, Bears, at Cowboys, Saints, Giants. They have a favorable schedule. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not taking anything away from them. I think that's a pretty good team. The defense has even shown that they can be pretty good. But show me what they're going to do. You know, the litmus test for them, I think, is going to be week 16 at Dallas when, you know, if Dak stays healthy, people need to quit stepping on his hands.
Yeah, they did it yesterday.
Yeah, they did it yesterday. At least it won the throwing hand. Mm-hmm. How do they match up against Dallas? Like the real Dallas.
Yeah.
How do they match up against them? If the Giants are still good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do they match up against them? Time will tell. As for A.J. Brown, it was a tough trade to make. I still think it was the right move because I still think ultimately he's overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He deserved to get paid, but he was overpaid. So eventually, and I know we're going to keep revisiting it, eventually, though, Titans got to move on.
Yeah, they're going to have to. He's doing exactly what the Eagles brought him in here to do, and that's to make plays. People got to understand this. I know they're looking at A.J.'s numbers and whatnot, but he's a different receiver in the Titans' offense than he is in the Eagles' offense. The Eagles' offense is a little bit more wide open. They got 3 or 4 playmakers. So 1 week is A.J., 1 week is Devontae Smith, 1 week is another guy. They are put together to win a championship because their defense is playing so well. People, y'all can't look at A.J. numbers and say, those are numbers we could know. This offense runs totally different from what the Eagles offense run. Okay? The Eagles run the football, but they do a lot of, you know, mystery. They do a whole bunch of stuff that kind of confuses defenses. And A.J. fits perfectly in their passing scheme. Why? Because he got another number one receiver on the opposite side of him. He has a quarterback that's playing really well, an offensive line that is playing really well, and a running game that is doing well. Also, the Titans don't have that here. So his numbers will probably look a little bit different. Would he still have an impact on the Titans? Absolutely, because he was that type of person. But don't look at his numbers now and say, well, we could have those numbers. No, two different offenses, two different philosophies.
Yeah, and that's why he didn't end up working out here, exactly. Obviously. So, but I'm going to move on to a team that we have not talked too much about before I get to Chase's Cowboys, actually. But so the Minnesota Vikings, guys, are 6-1 after taking down the Cardinals yesterday. Cousins looks pretty decent. You know, Cousins is going to Cousins. You like that, D-Mace? You like that? But
please don't ever do that again.
Hey, you know what? Kirk was the most awkward quarterback that season, and I will never forget that meme. But
awkward like this segment, but continue.
Yeah, well, so Cousins and the Vikings, are they any way, shape, or form a Super Bowl contender? I don't think they are. I think they're a good but not great team right now. They're not proving it. But, hey, they are having a pretty good season, and I think that you can't just look at a team that's having success and think, oh, well, they can't do well in the playoffs. And, I mean, with the weapons that they have, I mean, they have Justin Jefferson, they got Dalvin Cook, and Cousins is Cousins, like I said. But
do you have a question in here, Nick?
I know, but what do you guys think about the Vikings? Do you think they're the contenders that maybe we think that they are? I don't know.
Well, listen, they got playmakers at every level. Kirk Cousins is, I mean,
I don't think he's elite, but I mean, he does make this work.
Listen, he does elite things.
He can, yeah.
But is he a elite quarterback? Probably not, but he does elite things at times. But he also does things that make you say, man, are you really a starter? You know? But that's Kirk Cousins. But he arguably has, if not the best receiver, one of the best receivers in the National Football League in Justin Jefferson. Dalvin Cook is Dalvin Cook. He controls the backfield with the way he runs the ball. Their defense is, you know, they're playing well. This team, I picked them to win the division.
You did.
I think if they somehow, some way, figure out how to get a number one seed in the NFC, it's going to be very difficult for people to go into Minnesota and win. That's all I got to say.
Yep. I think right now it's their division because Green Bay is awful. No.
But if they manage to get a number one seed, say if Dallas loses again, Philly end up losing twice, somewhere around there. If they get a number one seed and everybody and the road to the Super Bowl goes to Minnesota, I think it's going to be tough.
I don't think they're going to be the number one seed.
Mm.
But what if they are? I think that's a great question.
No, if they are, sure. But
I think Dallas.
I think Dallas is going to be the number one seed.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about them Cowboys for a second, all right? So they are the team that has recorded the most games with 49-plus points since the beginning of last season, which I thought was crazy. But Chase, I want to hear your level of optimism here, but I'm going to ask y'all a pretty good question, I think. So with a healthy Dak, with a healthy Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, because I know we already talked about them last segment, what do you think their true measuring stick game is going to be for them for the rest of the season? Because they did get Dak back, and yeah, Pollard looks like more of a starter. You're not getting your best years out of Zeke anymore. But they don't need to. That's true. But what do you think that they're going to be able to do down the stretch? Are you sure they are able to take down teams that have a better passing game? And I know that their defense is probably the best in the NFL, but can they carry themselves far enough to the promised land this year?
Well, look, I think their measuring stick game is coming up week 11 at the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they got a matchup against them. I'm not going to write off Green Bay. The Cowboys are on a bye week this week. I don't want to write off Green Bay, but I don't think Green Bay is very good. They got to go play at Lambeau. To me, they should win that game. And then week 11, they're at the Vikings. They get the Giants at home on Thanksgiving Day. Then they got to play the Colts, the Texans, at Jags, Eagles on Christmas Eve. Then they're here on a short week for a Thursday night game on December 29th at Washington to round out the season. So for me, their biggest games are against Philadelphia and Minnesota coming up. Let's see how they match up against them.
Well, I mean,
that defense, though, it's not just the offense, because they could use some weapons on offense. CeeDee Lamb, I think, is playing much better, but he is their true threat through the air. And then you got a dual threat at running back with those two. But their defense is their bread and butter right now.
It is. But just like, Nick, you said, Kirk Cousins will Kirk Cousins, or everybody's waiting for him to Kirk Cousins.
Exactly.
Dallas sometimes will Dallas. And they will hurt themselves. Or should I say Dallas will Jerry Jones themselves and end up making a bonehead play or losing games they ain't supposed to lose with Dak at, underneath center. So I'm not sure. Do they have the talent? Yes, absolutely. They've had the talent for the last two or three years. But they can't. It's almost like they can't get out of their own way sometimes. You know, it started with Tony Romo. Couldn't get out of their own way when they had clearly at times the best teams. And now it has filtered over into Dak. they've had some really good teams, but they've Dallas, or should I say they've Jerry Jones all over themselves each time.
Please enlighten us, Chase.
Oh, the text line is great. Eagles have already beat. They have not played the Cowgirls yet. They're Mark and Gallatin.
They have played the Cowboys.
Oh, well, yeah.
Dak was out.
Show me with Dak. Yeah, Mark says Eagles have already beaten both the Vikings and the Cowgirls convincingly. Come on, guys. If I wanted to hear about the Cowboys, I would watch First Take or Skip and Shannon. No one cares. Well, I didn't ask you. And John says these questions are novels, not zingers. That'll do it for NFL Zingers today. Great job, Nick, as we do every Monday at 1 o'clock. We'll get back into the Titans because the Mike Vrabel way continues to work. Take your calls, your text, 615-737-1025. That's all next. Chase William, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game, where our advice is you've got two choices in life. When you strike out, you can either put the bat down or you can put the bat back up. And D-Mace and I, we pick the bat back up.
Yeah, pick it back up. Keep swinging.
Keep swinging. Go back to the plate.
Yeah. Going to knock a home run out in a minute.
Chase McCabe. That's right. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Eddie George Show coming up at 6. Stillman and Company before that. We know they will have a ton of reaction to the Titans as they win yesterday 17-10 over the Houston Texans. Malik Willis making his NFL debut, 6 of 10, 55 yards and a pick. Only attempted 10 passes. It was all Derrick Henry, 32 carries, 219, and 2 touchdowns as he becomes the franchise leader in touchdowns, surpassing Eddie George. Dontrell Hilliard, 8 carries, 83 yards, including a 30-yarder. Willis would run it a little bit as well. But the king, Derrick Henry, was the key to all of this. We knew the game plan. Houston knew the game plan, couldn't stop the game plan. But the Mike Vrabel game plan continues to be successful, Derek, because this is just how his teams are built, that, hey, our quarterback's hurt. All right, we're just going to keep gritting and bearing it and fighting, and that's exactly what they did. The defense made some big plays. I can tell he loves a guy like T.R. Tart. You know, whenever T.R. Tart comes up, Jeff Simmons, he lights up because those are his type of guys. But especially T.R. Tart, that he's one of those, not a household name, but he has really made something of an NFL career so far.
Yeah, he's been a force for this defensive front for the Titans. Everybody in the league knows about Jeffrey Simmons. Everybody knows about DeNico Autry and how good he is. Everybody knows about Bud Dupree. Harold Landry's not there right now. It won't be until next season, so he was out of the picture. But T.R. Tart has just – he flew under the radar for like 3 weeks. And then, you know, he was playing well then, but all of a sudden he starts making these other plays, tip passes, interceptions. And he goes from just being another guy in the rotation to being a critical part of what they do on defense from a defensive line standpoint. You got to like stories like this. You got to like, you know, guys like T.R. Tart, guys that come in. He's not screaming and yelling for, you know, I need my tackles or I need this or need that. No, he's coming in and he's doing his job and he's doing it very effectively. Now, if you look at stat line, it's not like he's killing a stat line at all. But what he's doing is he allows, when you want to double team Jeffrey Simmons, which you want to do every play,
yep,
he makes you pay for it. And he finds a way to make a key play or make plays or push the pocket back, you know, for this defense to where now you got to pay attention to him. So, I mean, hats off to T.R. Tart. I mean, we were talking about him yesterday on a pregame show, and I picked him to be my pick-to-click guy. And, I mean, the guy just shows up. He reminds me like of a Jason Fisk. You know, one of those guys that just they're good players, man. They're solid players, really good in the locker room. but they don't say much, but they just do their job. And you love having them on their team. And you really don't get their appreciation for them until they leave.
Yeah.
That's when you right. truly get their appreciation. You're
like, man, I miss that guy.
Like, man, God, I miss T.R. Tart. Like, man, he's one of those guys.
Well, he was like Daquan Jones. Daquan Jones absolutely. Was that kind of guy. Now he's with Buffalo. Daquan Jones was steady Eddie. You didn't really talk about him a whole lot, but he did his job and didn't make too many mistakes. Mm-hmm. And he was just a guy that you wanted to have on your team because you knew he did his job and you didn't have to worry about him. T.R. Tart has become that.
Exactly.
He has become that guy. And they need more of those guys. Those guys are important, just as important at times as somebody like Jeffrey Simmons. Now, Jeffrey Simmons is the best player on this team. There's no argument in my mind. It goes Jeffrey Simmons, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
It's probably how I'd say it. But Jeffrey Simmons is just a wrecker, a game wrecker. And even if he's not the one making the play, if you go and you dissect the play as a whole, he's probably been the setup guy.
He's the one that caused all the ruckus.
Right, because they're double-teaming him or whatever, and that leaves Bud Dupree wide open to go get the quarterback.
Absolutely. If you listen to – this is why I think sometimes you got to really, like, listen to the tone of Vrabel's voice when he's talking about individuals. Willie and I went through this last week because we noticed, like, when he talked about Bud, the question was asked of Bud Dupree. And I'm not saying he dislikes Bud. That's not what I'm saying. But when the question was asked about Bud Dupree, does he change the defense? Vrabel sort of shied away from all that. And it was just basically he was just talking about a player. He was commenting on a player. Yeah, Bud, when he's out there, he does what he's supposed to do. The whole Bill Belichick spiel. Yeah, he's a good player. He does. Yeah, okay, we understand that. But when the question was asked of him about a Jeffrey Simmons or a T.R. Tart, man, you can really hear it in his voice. Like, those guys excite him, you know, because those guys, one, he can depend on them.
Right.
He can depend on those guys playing. But then they play with an attitude that he loves, especially Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, I haven't seen every defensive lineman in the NFL play this year. But if you show me one that has played better than Simmons, I want to see it. Even Aaron Donald, I want to see it. Aaron Donald's great. Aaron Donald's in the Hall of Fame already. And he's going to continue. As long as he's playing, he's going to continue to be one of those guys. But Jeffrey Simmons, each year he's elevated his game. Each year. And not only has he elevated his game, he's elevated his dominance. Like, he's getting to a point where he's one of those guys that you just can't block. Like, if I want to disrupt this play right now, I will disrupt it no matter how many people you have blocking me. I'm going to disrupt it. That's the type of player I think Ben Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons is. Ben Simmons definitely is that player. But Jeffrey Simmons, he's that type of guy. Eddie asked me this question on his show two Mondays ago.
Yep.
He and Hutton. And they said, if you can coach one position, what would it be? And they thought I was going to say wide receiver or something. I said, man, give me the D-line. I want to coach the D-line. I want to coach those guys because that's a group of grimy, just get in your face, just hardworking, never get up, give up type of group. The group that I'm watching from the Titans. That's the type of group they are. And I would love to coach a group because that's my mentality.
I can see you being a D-line coach.
I'm like, man. I love that group they have with the Titans, Tart and Simmons and Autry and those guys. Man, I would love to coach a group like that.
You know, if he's listening on his tractor on his farm right now, you know who just got really excited? Jim Washburn.
Jim. I used to sit back and watch Coach Washburn.
He had so much fun
with those. He pushed them. Like, he pushed them extremely hard, but they loved him. Like, because he had their back. And he was just like them, just feisty.
He made those guys a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Albert Haynesworth. Yeah. And Albert has come on these airwaves, and he has said it, that he owes Jim Washburn everything.
Jim was just a different cat, man, from because, a coach's standpoint.
And that's what makes some of these coaches great. And, like, I like the Titans coaching staff now, for sure. But guys like Washburn, he could have very easily gone to Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese and said about Albert Haynesworth, hey, this kid doesn't get it. He's a waste of time. He's a waste of space. Get rid of him. Mm-hmm. Could have done that, but he didn't because he saw what he could be. Albert saw it. Albert didn't see it. Yeah. Albert was making, you know, was stomping on dudes' heads and making dumb moves and just, you know, being an idiot. And he, again, I'm paraphrasing things he has said. Washburn didn't give up on him.
No.
And that's what, you know, Tierre Tart, different story, obviously, but mm-hmm. But they have done such a good job of molding him, of developing Jeffrey Simmons. But I could totally see you as a D-line coach. That would be awesome.
I would love being a defensive line coach.
Coming up next, we got a pair of Preds tickets on the line for trivia, and we'll also get we'll get into them a little bit, and also the Vols as well. It's Chase William D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company coming up in less than 30 minutes as they'll continue the Titans discussion as they win yesterday. But right now it's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the New York Rangers at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, November 12th, when they return from this five-game road trip. It's a Saturday night in Smashville on November 12th. You can cheer on the Preds as they take on the New York Rangers with a puck drop at 7 o'clock. And also that night, Preds Foundation is going to be hosting a second Harvest Food Drive. Donate non-perishable food at the game or visit NashvillePredators.com/food drive. So there you go. Here is the question. January 22nd, 2014, the Nashville Predators made a trade with the New York Rangers, and they acquired defenseman Michael Delzato. Who did the Predators send back to the Rangers in that trade? 615-737-1025. Tell Nick your answer. The first one to get it right will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds and the Rangers on November 12th. Who did the Predators send back to the Rangers when they acquired Michael Delzato January 2014? 615-737-1025. Rough Saturday night for the Predators, Derek, as they had that great win against St. Louis. You're mm-hmm. kind of thinking that, all right, they got their confidence back. But ultimately, it was not to be against Peter Laviolette and the Washington Capitals as they're shut out at Bridgestone Arena, losing 3-0 in that contest. You know, when we've seen them on these stretches before, and I think you can apply this, you know, to any sport, you always say, you know what, now they're going on the road. Mm-hmm. You don't have any of the distractions of home and the pressure of playing at home. Now you're going on the road. You can bond as a team. And we've seen this with John Hines before, that they go on a long road trip, and this is where they kind of start to find their mojo. Five-game road trip for the Predators starting tomorrow night in Edmonton. I think this is coming at the right time.
Yeah, it is. You know, getting as a former guy that played, sometimes the road can be sort of that safe space or that calming space because it's just you, the guys and the coaches. It's just you and the team. Against, you know, the city, basically, or the state, whatever, or the country, in a sense, you know. So going on the road may bring a level of success because now everyone's honed in because there's no distractions. Not to say that there's many when they're at home, but there are. You know, the distractions can be your family or things you have to do outside of work that week while you're here. But when you're on the road, it's just you and the team, and you have no other distractions other than going to meetings, going to dinner, and coming back and getting ready for the game. So sometimes this can be a good thing for a team that has sort of, you know, been on a losing streak, which the Predators have been before the 6-2 win the other day, but then they come back and they lose. So hopefully going on the road can prove, you know, good for the Predators, and hopefully they can pick up a victory tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, look, they need it. They got to get this thing going and get some consistency. And, you know, I think that you don't start looking at making trades and blowing up the roster or anything like that yet. But, you know, I think you know, we'll talk to David Poyle tomorrow. You got to start getting some things going quick because now you're going into November. And November is, you know, you kind of get to that point. That's when you start to see, all right, who's good, who's mm-hmm. not. It's kind of like the NFL. You get into October, that's when you start to really know, all right, who's legit and who isn't. And that's where I think the Predators are right now as they try and figure their stuff out. Also, this weekend, Tennessee defeats Kentucky, absolutely shellacks them. Sorry, Michelle. And now they are tied for second in the AP Top 25 with Ohio State as the best team in the country at 8-0. Georgia still number one, also at 8-0, as Tennessee will take on Georgia coming up this weekend. And we'll get the first college football playoff rankings. I do kind of wonder if they don't put Tennessee too.
Well, again,
I don't like this whole tied thing. Like,
again,
either
there
or they
should
aren't.
Be under no circumstance. And I know this is not the college football poll, but this year, under no circumstance, should there have been a number one Georgia and tied for two Tennessee and Ohio State. Right. Ohio State's a really good football team. They are. But if you've seen both of those teams play against the competition that they've played, there's no way there should be a tie. Now, if you just want to put Ohio State at three, then fine. Or if you want to put them at two, fine, put them at two. But don't disrespect. I think that's it's a disrespect to UT. Looking at their schedule, who they have to play, and how they've dominated teams. They should be. I think they're the number one team in the country. I do. I think they're the best team in the country. I've seen Georgia, and I've seen UT. And I clearly believe that UT is the better team. Now, it will play out this weekend on who the better team is. But I think up until now, the University of Tennessee is clearly the best team in the country. They are.
Mm-hmm. Look, they're getting the notoriety.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they're getting it.
Game day is going to Athens. This is the third appearance that Tennessee would have on game day this year. Two in Knoxville and now in Athens.
Well, they deserve it. Yeah. Look at their schedule. Look at who they played. They've dominated teams. Now, when I say dominate, I mean from an offensive standpoint, they've dominated everybody they played. Maybe Pittsburgh is a different story. It's early in the season. They had to go there to play Pittsburgh, hostile environment, but they still were able to have command over that game until sort of late. And then they let, you know, Pitt come back and whatnot. But every game after that, they've dominated. Even the Florida game. Florida ended up with scoring a late touchdown. They've dominated everybody that they've played from an offensive standpoint. And now their defense have gotten a couple players back. Their defense looks even better than they did two games ago. That doesn't bode well for the Georgia Bulldogs when you got a team that's averaging over 50 points and their defense is starting to play a lot better. Yeah, I think clearly UT is the best team in the country. Now, again, it will be settled come this weekend. But up until now, from what I've seen from Georgia, Old State, Michigan, and Tennessee, Tennessee's the best team.
This is their big test this Saturday, 2:30 on CBS. They'll go to Georgia, play in between the hedges, number one versus number two.
And a half.
And honestly, I believe a playoff spot on the line. You know, obviously they got to take care of business down the stretch. Both teams do. But I think, you know, this gets you to Atlanta, most likely.
Well, either team in this situation, I believe, as long as it on either side, as long as it's not a blowout on either side, if it's like the Alabama-Tennessee game.
Oh, yeah, you can make an argument.
Whoever loses, I still think wins because now we don't have to play an SEC championship game.
Right.
You know, and we're going to, the rest of the games we should win no matter who they're playing, Georgia or UT.
Yeah.
So, to me, they still would have a valid, and I mean a valid argument, at being in the college football playoffs.
Sure.
Because you would have lost to who? the number one or number two team in the country.
Yep.
That would have been your only loss.
I think that's a valid point for sure. Coming up next, we'll put a bow on the Titans and their win yesterday. Get you set for Stillman and Company. Also, congratulations to Steven. He correctly said it was Kevin Klein that the Rangers acquired for Michael Delzato. So he's won a pair of tickets to see the Preds and the Rangers coming up on November 12th at Bridgestone Arena. More coming here. Chase William DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. Nick Kieser behind the glass. Stillman and Company coming up in just a few minutes as they will talk Titans with all of you. I saw this tweet from Jared yesterday basically saying Malik stinks. I know he's going to bring that up today. And I don't have an opinion on what Malik Willis is at this point. You know, was he a rookie yesterday? Yes, he was very much a rookie. He looked like a rookie yesterday. But you weren't asking him to do too much. They were never going to let him throw the ball that much because they didn't need to. They knew that they could run on the Texans with Derrick Henry and even Dontrell Hilliard and even Malik Willis some. So they didn't ask him to do too much. So I can't really sit here and say he sucks or he doesn't suck. He's not ready. He's not ready to be a starter in this league, but that doesn't mean that he can't be at some point in time.
They're not looking for him to be the starter, and they knew exactly what they were doing. We're not going to no way, no shape, form, are we going to put the ball into Malik Willis's hands. That's not what we are going to do. We're not going to beat the Houston Texans by Malik Willis throwing the football. If they could have not thrown a football, period, they probably would have.
Sure.
But he was a rookie. He seemed nervous out there. It was like deer in the headlights. You know, he had to turn over. That happens with everybody. I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, just because he threw an interception, he's trash. No. But he needs to get better moving forward. He needs to take this, you know, because he potentially may have to start another game down the line. We don't know if it's the next game or whatnot, but he may have to start another game moving forward, which means he needs to learn from this opportunity that he got. Again, this kid wasn't ready. They knew he wasn't going. They knew they were not going to win the game because of Malik Willis. They knew that. Hence, that's why the 10 passes he threw. Okay. But they wanted him to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. And if we ask you to throw, then just make the right decision. He made a bad decision. You threw the ball behind the receiver. And it was intercepted. He overthrew Chigakonkwo. He had him wide open. You could just see it. If you're watching the film from behind him, he hesitates because he's not. I think when you got to listen to Vrabel again. Vrabel said this a long time ago. Listen. The kid is making the right reads, but he's not making it quick enough.
Right.
He's still learning that. He's making the right read, but it's not quick enough. He doesn't have the time he had in college. He can take a hitch and then throw it. The guy's still open. Well, in the NFL, you can't do that, or you're going to lead him out of bounds if you do, or you're going to throw it behind him if you do. Well, those are things that you hope that he's going to learn from moving forward, that he needs to be a tick faster with some of his throws. Did he play great? Hell no, he didn't. But they didn't want him.
They didn't need him to.
They didn't need him to play great. They knew exactly what they were more than likely going to get out of Malik Willis. They knew it.
Sure.
Hence, that's why they ran the ball with Derrick Henry so much.
But it also tells me something. I mean, one, they wanted him to be the backup this year. But two, they trust him more than Woodside.
Yeah. That's what it does tell me. So, you know, again, everybody's going to have their take on Malik Willis, and that's your deal. I get it because, you know, I had my take on Farley, but it took about four stars for me to realize that this kid just don't have it.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to hear Jared talking about a quarterback controversy today. I hope not.
Even if Malik would have played well, I told Jared this yesterday, even if Malik, if he go out and throw two touchdowns and 200 yards, it's still not a controversy.
No.
This is Ryan Tannehill's team. as the quarterback. I don't care if he threw for 5 touchdowns. This is still Ryan's team, okay? He threw for 5 touchdowns, at least they can say, well, we got some here, okay? We should feel good about, you know, where we're going. But that wasn't the case. I still think they feel good about his potential to grow within this offense and in this organization. I do believe that. And they're not going to let one game make them decide on whether he's not fit for this team. And I, hell, they hadn't cut Raiden yet, have they?
No.
They hadn't cut Caleb yet, have they? They held on to a lot of people, you know? So, Malik, they're not, you know, they're not looking at this as a, oh, my goodness, why do we draft him in the third round? They're just looking at it like, okay, could he have played better? Absolutely. But his first start, rookie, if he has to start again, hopefully we won't see those same mistakes in the second start that we did in the first.
Well, and to his credit, you know, when you go back to the preseason, he made some mistakes in the first preseason game. He didn't make those same mistakes in the second one.
Exactly.
And so on and
so
forth.
He got better.
So he listened to coaching and he got better. That was one thing that really stood out to me with him. But, you know, I know yesterday Stillman said the Titans were one win away from a controversy?
Yeah, one win quarterback controversy if he played certain way. No, Jared, that's not the way this thing. That's not the way it goes.
Derrick Henry was the story yesterday, and he continues to be the story. Now, I'm going to give you some – I wish Willie was here to hear this.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you some good news. Okay. So through 7 games, Derrick Henry has 166 rushes for 755 yards, 7 touchdowns. Okay? Last year, he played 8 games before he got hurt. He had 219 carries in 8 games, 937, 10 touchdowns. So the carries are down from last year.
Okay.
I know Willie, that's got to make him feel better.
Oh, that should make him feel better.
I mean, look, still 166, that's a lot. I mean, he's getting the workload. He had 32 yesterday, but
yeah.
But I still think that maybe they're paying attention to that, and we don't think they are, but they are.
Yeah, they are. I think they have to, considering how their offense, what they know they have and don't have in offense right now. So they know they're going to have to, if they want to continue to win, and if they hope to win inside the playoffs, they're going to have to continue to ride Derrick Henry, and they know that. So I don't know what Derrick Henry's on pace to rush for, maybe like 1,500 yards, 1,600 yards after that 200-yard performance. What is it, almost 707 games?
Yeah.
707 games.
He's 755 right now.
755 after 7 games. Okay. I mean, he should be on pace for over 1,500 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
1,600 yards. Yeah. So, you know, he's still the same, like, runner.
That was his fourth straight game over 100 yards.
He's still the same runner. In terms of, you know, what you're going to get, you know, in between the tackles and the physicality that he brings, but he doesn't have that long speed burst that he used to have. It's not I didn't see it yesterday, even on a long run. I just didn't see it. Now the cutback he had and he scored, that was nice.
Oh, that was real.
That was nice. His ability to get outside and go, but it seems like he's still missing that burst that he had last year.
Now, I tell you this, the number that has improved for him that I like to see is the yards per attempt. He's at 4.5 yards per attempt right now. That was the one that was concerning me for a while because it was low. It was in the threes, but it's starting to climb back up.
But historically, a fourth, according three guy?
Yeah, according to Robbie, he's on pace for 1833.
Yeah, and for his career, he's averaging like 4.48. Almost 5 yards a carry. So, to me, Derrick Henry is going – he's going to end his career somewhere around in the mid to high fours.
And if he does that and, you know, has a couple of big years, a couple more big years, he's going to Canton.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely – if he continues to – plus they give you an extra game now.
Yep. That helps.
Yeah, that helps. If he doesn't have any more injuries – yeah, I think he's on his way to Canton.
In the last 30 seconds, I will say this. You know, Scott Van Pelt does the best thing I saw today. The best thing I saw yesterday was Ross Chastain using a video game move to get himself into the championship four in the NASCAR race. He basically used the wall as a rail. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It was the coolest thing that I've seen in a long time.
I saw it. It was pretty awesome. Cool. I was like, what is he doing?
Derek doing that. That's going to do it for us. Stick around. Stillman and Company, Titans and Texans. They'll talk more about that. That's all next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
We out.